Thank you, Scott. That last song took me back to my childhood. I remember singing that a lot. Thank you for coming. My mind's been kind of going in circles today, and it wasn't that it was a bad day, it's just been going in circles. And as I thought of why we're coming together this weekend, yes, Sunday morning is communion. And it is a good time for us to just stop and hear from God. Last week, one of the messages that I preached was one of the ones that I have enjoyed doing quite often, and it was the one that talks about the power of the gospel. And thinking of that this evening, this afternoon, the passage in Nehemiah where Ezra read the law. And there's a couple points there. I'm not going to read that whole chapter because it's a long chapter and you didn't come to hear me. You came to hear Merv. But the thing that really has impressed me in this passage of Scripture, and one of the reasons that I like it so much and why it's become special to me, is that when we read God's Word, I don't need to say a whole lot. Now, here it does say that they did read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that people could understand what was being read. So I think it's good for us to talk about what it means and what we see from the Scriptures. But what I really love about this passage is these people were in captivity for many years. And here they came. They didn't even know this book of the law existed. And they were cleaning out something and they found it. And they came together. They were hungry to hear the gospel. They were hungry to hear the word of God. And in verse 1, it says that they assembled as one man. They all came together to hear what God had to say. And then in verse 3, it says he read it from daybreak until noon. And on the second day in verse 13, they came back for more. And then in verse 14, they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. They didn't even know that existed. And then over into chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their father. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day and spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping the Lord their God. Simply reading God's word brought conviction. And I love that picture because we get busy, we get wrapped up in what we're doing, and they're necessary things, but they take our focus off of God. They take our focus off of what our purpose is, and we find ourselves kind of wandering around a little bit at times. And then the verse in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's a living word, it's an active word, it's a penetrating word, and it's a discerning word. It sees into our hearts, and it sees what God sees. And as we read God's word, it brings conviction to where we need it. And the other thing that was going through my mind this afternoon was that song that we sang Sunday morning that Walter is working to teach us, the goodness of God. And I thought of a couple phrases in that song. He says, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. We have all here experienced the goodness of God in many, many ways. And tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday morning, we're looking to Brother Merv to bring what God has laid on his heart to encourage us, to challenge us, and to convict us. And where we need conviction, where we need to shape up a little bit, hopefully we can do that. So I'm going to ask Merv to come, and we are going to have a word of prayer and turn the time over to him. Because like I said, you didn't come to hear me preach. Father, thank you so much for the time that we've come here tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the penetrating power of your word. And as we sit under what you've shared, you want to share tonight with us through our brother, I just pray that you would speak to us, that you would give us what we need tonight to bring conviction, to bring encouragement, to bring courage to each of us as we hear and listen to you and think about the goodness of God. Be with our brother as he shares tonight. Would you just bless him with wisdom and words to speak that we need in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Bless you.
Say good evening to all of you. Certainly is a blessing to be together here this evening, and certainly looking forward to our time together here this weekend. And thank you, Brother Dale, for that very practical devotional introduction, really, to the weekend together. You know, it's the Word of God. When we proclaim the Word of God, we don't need to apologize for it, because the Word stands. It is truth. And when we proclaim truth, the Word of God, you know, if people don't like it, that's their problem. It's not our problem. But it's the Word of God that is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is what penetrates our hearts and transforms us through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. You know, in Scripture, we find many good illustrations that we can learn from, and as well as direct words of encouragement, words of direction, and guidance in making decisions. And this evening, what I'd like to do, in fact, I do enjoy looking at accounts, stories as such, and pulling from that, we can learn so much from the stories in Scripture. And the account I'd like to look at here this evening is found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And you Bible readers will immediately remember that that is the story of David and Goliath. Well, I'm challenged as I read that and as I think about it. There's one thing that really stands out to me. And as we look at this account here this evening, we have the difference between how David responded to the giant and how King Saul and Israel responded to the giant there in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. And the question comes to mind, okay, why that difference? Israel and King Saul ran in hiding. They were fearful. They were afraid. Not David. He was very confident and was willing to be God's instrument and God's vessel. Why the difference? We want to talk about that here this evening. In fact, I've entitled the message tonight, Victory Over Giants. And just looking at, thinking about giants. You know, Israel faced the giant. David faced the giant, Goliath. And, you know, all of us in our lives, from time to time, we face those giants. For Israel, it caused them a lot of fear. It caused them to be dismayed. How do we face our giants? Are we like Israel and we allow the giant, the difficulty? Well, what does a giant look like today in 2025? Well, it can come in different ways. It may be some family issues. It may be a discouraging situation, a difficult situation that we're faced with, and we don't know which way around. In fact, I remember a number of years ago, I found myself flat on my face before God in a very trying, difficult situation. It was a huge giant in front of me. I had no idea which way to go. And I cried out to God, and He gave direction. And, you know, it could very well be that there's someone here tonight, you're faced with a giant. Maybe it's some physical issues that you're dealing with, or a spiritual struggle that you're dealing with, or family problems, or misunderstandings with a friend or a neighbor, or, you know, the list could go on and on. But God has a way of helping us if we look to Him. And so that's what I'd like to think about here this evening. You know, the matter of fact is, we are in a spiritual warfare. And Ephesians talks about that. Ephesians 6, verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And then the next verse tells us, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand." By the grace of God, the power of God, we can overcome the giants in our lives. So let's look at the life of David. There are several things that, several lessons I believe that we can learn from the life of David. First of all, I want to look at how do we prepare for giants, to face the giants, to overcome the giants. How do we prepare? And then secondly, how do we overcome the giants that we face? Well, the setting we find here in 1 Samuel 17, in fact, we got to go back to chapter 16 to get the setting. And the Lord spoke to the prophet Samuel and said, "Samuel, I want you to go to Bethlehem, and I want you to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the next king of Israel." And Samuel was like, "Well, how are we going to do that? If Saul finds out I'm doing that, he's going to kill me." "Well, you just go to Bethlehem, you round up Jesse and his boys, and you say, we're going to go do a sacrifice, and I'll tell you which one it is from there." So Samuel obeys, he goes to Bethlehem, and he meets Jesse and his sons. They're all gathered, and then he has the boys come in front of him, and in fact, there were seven of the eight boys that were there. Eli, he comes up in first, and Samuel's like, "Wow, surely this is the one that the Lord has." And God spoke to him and said, "No, this is not the one I've got. You know, this young man was handsome. He was, good looking, whatever." And Samuel thought, "Man, this got to be it." But God said, "I don't look like man look. I look in the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but I look in the heart." And so it was. Jesse had all seven of his sons that were there in the meeting pass in front of him. The Lord said, "It's not none of these." And Samuel was a bit stumped, and he said to Jesse, "Now, is this all? Are these all your sons?" And Jesse said, "No, there's one, the youngest. He's out taking care of the sheep." Samuel says, "Well, go bring him in. We're not going to sit down until you bring him in, until we see him." So he went, and they called him. They brought him in. And the Lord spoke to Samuel. In fact, in chapter 16, let me see, in verse 12, we have David coming in of chapter 16. And the Bible tells us that he was ruddy, with bright eyes, good looking, and the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." And so Samuel responded, verse 13, "Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." Now, my friends, this evening, I believe right there is a key. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And that, you know, if we're going to face giants, we need the Spirit of God. You and I are no match for the enemy. You and I are no match for the giants that we face in life. You know, Satan is so, his purpose is to kill, to steal, to destroy. And a lot of the battles, spiritual battles that we face in life are fought right up here in the mind. It's a battle of the mind. And, you know, we need the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How are we going to do that? Well, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I don't find that always easy. My mind is going, spinning 100 miles an hour, and I'm trying to, you know, it's not good, you know. I'm trying to get a hold of this thing. Finally, I stop. Lord, help me. It's amazing what happens when we cry out to God and say, God, I can't do this. You do it. And so we need the Spirit of God. We need the enabling grace of God to be able to do this. And so we have David anointed as king. He was out there taking care of the sheep, comes to this meeting with Samuel, and is anointed king of Israel. Wow, isn't that something? So what did David do? Did he go over to King Saul over at the palace and say, hey, listen, Saul, I tell you what, I just got anointed the new king. How about you moving out and let me come in and take over? Oh, no, no, no. No, he didn't do that. You know, he waited on God. And what did he do in the meantime? Now, you know, he knew he was king. Yeah, he understood that. So in the meantime, he was waiting. And what did he do? Sit back and say, well, I guess I'll just sit here till that palace opens up. He kept on doing exactly what he was doing, taking care of his father's sheep. He was faithful in where he was called. And that was, may I say, his calling for the time. You know, sometimes in life we get a vision, we get a call of what, you know, a call, we sense the call of God in our lives. And we're like, oh wow, I'm excited about this. Let's go do it. But the doors aren't open. Well, what are we going to do? Pry doors open and make it work? Let me tell you, that's not a good idea. It's a better idea to serve faithfully where we're at. And that's exactly what David did. He served faithfully where he was at, taking care of his father's sheep. And it was a time of preparation for him. You know, in chapter 17, when he was talking to King Saul, he says, you know, I was out there taking care of my father's sheep, and there comes a lion. Went to get at one of the sheep, and I went after him, and I got him. I took care of him. Not only that, but a bear came, and I went and took care of the bear. You know, David could have said, boy, this is kind of dangerous. I don't know. Well, it's only one sheep. I guess we'll just let him have it. No, no, no. He was faithful and diligent in serving where he was called. And he was called to protect those sheep and to care for them. And my friends, this evening, I believe that that is a key right there. Yes, David had the Spirit of God within him to guide him, to lead him in the ways of righteousness, truth, and holiness. And he walked in that. He followed the direction of God, and God gave him that ability and that energy and that strength to take care of the lion, take care of the bear, and which proved very helpful down the road. It was a time of preparation. My friends, tonight, sometimes when we have that call of God, that vision of God in our hearts, and the doors are not open, continue to serve faithfully where we're at. It prepares us for that next step when those doors are wide open and God gives us that opportunity to step in. You know, as David, I just want to emphasize this. As David was serving faithfully, a door of opportunity opened right in front of him in a very unexpected way. I'm sure David was not expecting it. But one day his father said, David, how about running an errand for me? Your three older brothers are there with King Saul. They're out there fighting the Philistines. Why don't you take some food out there for them and check on them, see how everything's going, bring back a report. What did David say? Oh, Pop, I don't know that I want to do that. It's a lot of miles. No. He was ready, willing, and able. He was working under his father's authority. He was willing to run that errand for his father. Now, there's a quote that I ran across that I really do like. It goes like this. The greatest doors of opportunity swing on the tiny hinges called obedience. The greatest doors of opportunity swing on the tiny hinges called obedience. David was obedient in taking care of his father's sheep. He was obedient in running that errand for his father. And what happened? A great door of opportunity opened up for David, far beyond, I'm sure, his expectation. The Bible tells us there in chapter 17 that he left early in the morning, prepared, all ready to go. He left early in the morning. He came out to the camp where his brothers were, where King Saul and the army was there. They were gathered. They were getting ready to go out for battle as such. And David was there talking to his brothers, and all of a sudden, this Goliath, a giant, who is identified as a champion, shows up and cries out, which is what he has been doing for the last 40 days. Every morning and every evening, he has been out there crying, giving a challenge. Now, I find several things interesting about that. First of all, he is identified as a champion in verse 23 of chapter 17. And the word champion here in the Hebrew simply means the one who controls the territory between two camps. So here, the setting we have is Israel is here on this mountain, on the side of this mountain. The Philistines are over here on the other side, on the other mountain, and there's a valley between them. And here this giant comes, and he makes this proclamation as such. Now, let me say this. This giant was for real. This guy was over 9 feet tall. Can you imagine? Not only that, but he was well equipped. He had a bronze helmet on, and the Bible tells us there that he had a coat of scale armor of bronze that weighed 125 pounds. And this guy, he had a big gold spear. They said the head of that spear weighed 15 pounds. No wonder Israel was, how was it? Dismayed and greatly afraid in verse 11. Dismayed and greatly afraid. You know, my friends, this evening, you know, all of us face giants in our valleys that seem impossible to conquer. Remember, the impossibilities for us are great opportunities for God to show himself strong. A number of years ago in construction, I had a fellow working for me, and he used to he'd run into a snag or a difficulty, whatever. He'd come to me and he'd say, "Hey, Merv, I got this problem here." I was like, "Okay, Paul, is it a problem or is it an opportunity?" And after a while, you know what he did? He came and said, "Hey, Merv, guess what? We got an opportunity over here." How do we look at those difficulties? How do we look at problems? Are they opportunities or are they problems? Are we overwhelmed with it? Or is it an opportunity for God to show himself strong? You know, it's all a matter of perspective, really. From a human perspective, yeah, giants are impossible. And that's exactly where Israel was at. They saw it as an impossibility. Here, this giant, by the way, let's look at this giant. You know, he's very demanding. Verses 8 through 10 of chapter 17. Let's see what this giant is proclaiming. I mean, this guy, he's very demanding. He's got an attitude problem. In verse 8, this giant, he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." The Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Wow. He's pretty uptight, isn't he? No wonder Israel was afraid. Like verse 11 says, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And, you know, this has been going on for 40 days. It's not quitting anytime soon. At least it doesn't appear to. This has been a routine. Every morning and every evening, he comes out and hollers this out to the other side. And Israel and King Saul, they go running and hiding. Well, what about the giants that we face? What about those difficulties? What should our response be? Do we run away from them or do we address them? You know, problems aren't just going to go away. They need to be addressed. And I see that in David's response here. He says, "What's going on here? Why isn't somebody doing something about this?" In fact, let me see here. In verse 26, David was speaking to the guys there at Israel, army there. In verse 26 of chapter 17, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" You know, David had a totally different response from everyone else. He was in the minority. Now, how would you feel if you were David? You were in the minority. Everybody is scared stiff. Everybody is afraid. Everybody is going to hide. But are you willing to stand for truth? What, by the way, why could King Saul not go and address this thing and take care of it? I mean, he was the leader of the army. The Bible tells us that he was tall. He stood a head above everybody else. He had experience. Why could he not go and take care of this little issue? The people of Israel were saying, "Man, this guy's too big to hit." And David's saying, "Well, he's too big to miss. What's wrong?" Total different perspective. Well, something happened, and it's recorded in chapter 16, where King Saul had disobeyed God. He did his own thing, went his own way. And the Bible tells us something that is very sad in verse 14 of chapter 16. And the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. Talking about Saul. Because of his disobedience, because of turning away from God, the Spirit of God departed from him. See, that is why Saul had absolutely no power. That is why he was fearful. That's why he was afraid. He was scared stiff. We can't do this. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. David, he was prepared. He was up to date with God. He was on assignment from his father. He was under his father's authority. That's why he was there. And I believe, you know, David had no idea. I'm sure Jesse had no idea what was going to happen. But it was a divine appointment. I believe it was in God's timing that God impressed on Jesse to send David there to the army. I fully believe it was a divine appointment that God had for David on this particular day. Because this was day number 40. You know, if he'd have showed up on the first day it ever happened, But this was day number 40. I sense things were getting kind of restless, and you know, it's time to do something here. But who's going to do something? Divine appointment. God sends the person for the job. And David was prepared because he was up to date with God. You know, King Saul, he did not have the Spirit of God. He was on his own. That's why he was fearful. You know, my friends, this evening, the giants in our life, we can't face on our own. They're too big for us. They take us down. But by the grace of God, by the power of God, we can overcome. But David, a man of courage, he's going. He's willing to go, being led by the Spirit. And, you know, as I was thinking about this, I wonder, you know, David was functioning in the role that God had for him. He was doing what he was called to do at that particular time. He wasn't looking to press the doors open to step into the palace and be the king. He was waiting on God. In fact, that's one thing that I really admire about David. In all those years, I mean, it was many, many years that he waited for God to open the doors. There were numerous times when he was running and hiding from King Saul, and he had his people with him, and they had the opportunity. They would have had the opportunity to take out King Saul. And his men said, God has given him into your hand. Wipe him out. Do it. Well, you don't have to do it. I'll do it for you. David said, no. No, we're not doing it. We're not running ahead of God. We're waiting on God to do it. In God's timing, it's going to happen. Wow. Would I have had that patience, that kind of understanding? Wow. It blows my mind. Let me tell you, David wasn't perfect. No, he made plenty of mistakes. But you know what? All of us do, don't we? We're all very human. We all make plenty of mistakes, but the grace of God. When we repent, when we ask God to forgive us, he forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness and gives us the energy to continue to press on. So David here, he's willing to face the enemy, ready to face the enemy. But how is he going to do it? Well, his response to, they bring him to Saul, King Saul, and say, hey, you know what? This guy, he'll go do it. King Saul's first response was, man, you're just a young guy. You're just a lad. You're just a youth. You can't do it. And this guy, he's been fighting, you know, since his youth. David said this to King Saul. He said, "The Lord will deliver me." And he gave him the illustration of how God used him and enabled him to, take care of the lion and the bear when they came and got the sheep and all that. And, he's like, this guy's no different than a lion or a bear. I mean, God's going to deliver me. God's going to do it. You know, it's very interesting. We don't read of David calling a prayer meeting or whatever. It's just in his heart. He knew this was the right thing to do. Now, in saying that, don't misunderstand. There are times that we definitely do need to call a prayer meeting. But what I see in David is he was up to date with God. And my friends, I believe that's so very important, that we're up to date with God. That relationship is where it should be. And then when we're up to date with God, and then when those difficulties come, when those giants come, we're prepared. We're not doing it in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. May we be encouraged in that. Well, how did David face the enemy? Well, David's response to the Philistine, to the giant there, in verse 45 of chapter 17, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Again, God. He proclaimed that it is God that will deliver him. You know, just looking at the scenario of this, the Bible tells us that he took 5 stones from the brook and he had his sling. And, you know, from a human perspective, taking that to go face a giant that's got this, all this armor on him and all that. I mean, how in the world do you expect that to work? I mean, you got to hit it just right. And how are you going to do that with a sling? Well, I know some people are pretty good at it, and I know David was pretty good at it, but I believe the Lord had something to do with that stone, and it went just at the right place. It was a divine appointment. It was God. David didn't even have a sword, but the giant did, and once he was down, David used it. Anyways, we see, David, a man after God's own heart, a man that God used at this particular time to overcome the giant. And how did he do it? We've been talking a lot about the preparation. So then in concluding here, what about how do we do it? How do we face the giants? How can we be victorious? How do we overcome the giants? Well, it's very obvious, by the power of God. Not in our own strength, but by the power of God. And then secondly, we face the problems, the difficulties. We face them. They're not going to go away. We face them. We're willing to address it and deal with it. Don't ignore it. Israel did that and it didn't work, And then thirdly, we deal with it with God's strength and God's power, not in our own strength. "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You know, my friends, tonight, greater is he that is in you, in us, than he that is in the world. We're on the winning side. We're going to conquer. We're going to overcome the giants by the power of God, by the grace of God. And there in Ephesians tells us exactly what we need. We put on the armor of God. And he mentions here specifically, we're girded with truth. What is truth? The word of God. Truth. We stand on that. The gospel of peace. Yes, the good news. And we have the breastplate of righteousness. That means we're walking in the righteous way, the righteous path in truth. We're walking in that. And yes, the shield of faith. The enemy wants to bring doubt and confusion. But God brings strength and love. God is not a God of confusion. God has not given us the spirit of fear or confusion, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. By the power of God, we can overcome the enemy. We can be on the victorious side. The victory's been won through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he has won the victory, you and I can experience that victory over the giants in our lives as well. Shall we pray? Maybe as we pray here this evening, maybe there's someone here this evening that you say, you know what, I'm facing a giant right now. I'd like to be remembered in prayer here this evening. Just raise your hand right where you're at, and we'll remember you in our prayer here. Yes, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that it is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can overcome the enemy, the giants that we face. Lord, we recognize that we're in a spiritual warfare. We recognize that the enemy's attack is against you, but we get in the way because we are your children and we face those attacks. So God, may you enable, may you strengthen, and may you care for us. And Lord, you know the needs in the heart of each person that has raised their hand, recognizing a need, a giant that they're facing. God, may you, by your grace and your enabling power, grant them the victory over that giant right now. Lord, we thank you that your power is greater than the power of the enemy. And we thank you, Lord, that we are on the winning side. So, Lord, we commit these needs to you. And God, may you meet them, each one, individually, in a very special way, Lord. Thank you that you're the God that meets us at our point of need. Lord, we recognize that we are needy creatures. We need you. We need a touch from you. We need your enabling grace and your strength. Lord, we recognize we're no match for the enemy, but by your grace and by your strength, we can overcome. So, Lord, we look to you. We rely on you. Lord, thank you for our time together here this evening. Thank you for each person that has come out. And God, I pray that you meet each of our needs in a very special way, Lord. We love you and we honor you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Turn time back to Brother Dale.